Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Just a few announcements at the beginning. Please remember to use the friendship pads during the offering. There are also prayer request cards in the seat. Please remember to fill those out if you have a prayer request. There are many more announcements in the bulletin, so please read the entire bulletin and all of the announcements. There will be prayer under the cross following the worship service. And for adults, add this after this morning. We have two offerings. The Lenten series will continue in the social room with video and discussion, and a session on marriage built to last, video discussion in room 9 and 10. And the Wednesday night supper will be resuming this week. Can you get the back door for me? Thank you. Jesus needs neither books nor doctors of divinity in order to instruct souls. He, the doctor of doctors, he teaches without the noise of words. Let's be silent for a moment. Please join me in the call to worship that's in the bulletin. We are in the presence of God. Leave the places you have known and walk with God. Leave behind thoughts of limitations and imagine. But new ways of being in this world are possible for each of us. If you trust enough to move from the places you have known and question the systems around us, you will be blessed. God is our light and our salvation.
Lord, we open ourselves to you. Direct our paths and open our hearts and minds.
In this place, in every place.
For this time, for all time.
Let us worship our God. Okay, the hymn is number 383.
Thank you.
message. So all my friends, come join me, please. Oh, so many smiling faces. Some a little tired looking. I know I was a little tired this morning. Can you join me up here? Keep coming. Oh, we're all a little slow this morning. Even Mrs. Fargo's a little slow this morning. So thank you all for coming today, because this is a hard Sunday to get up a little bit early. We all lost that hour of sleep. But I am very, very excited to be here. You know why? I bought a new toy yesterday. Who likes new toys? Do you like new toys? Do you like new toys, Georgia? You do. Well, this is my new toy. Who knows what this is? I know there are probably a couple people out in the congregation that know what this is. What does it look like? Is it a lollipop? No, no. What do you think? I'll show you what it does. Look at this. Extends out. It grabs a golf ball from the water. That's right. So that must mean Mrs. Fargo likes to play golf. Do you think that's right? Georgia, do you think I like to play golf? Yeah, I do. But do you think I do it very well? No. I wouldn't need this if I played it very well. So when you play golf, the idea is that you hit the ball and it goes straight where you want it to go. And it lands on this big green space called the fairway. But when Mrs. Fargo plays golf, it goes everywhere but the fairway. It goes into the woods, it goes into the grass, and sometimes it goes into the water. Now, when it goes into the water, it's hard to find them. And I can show you what one of a golf ball, look at this one. Look at this golf ball. What does it look like? Can you see it? What is it kind of dirty? Does it look like it's been in the mud? Yeah. Let's bring out one that hasn't been in the mud. This is one of my shiny new ones. See? Can you tell the difference between the two? But I can still play with these. And because I don't play so well, every one of these is precious. Even the dirty ones are precious. So I take this retriever, and if I do this right, it's a new, brand new toy, I told you. I can go in to the water, and I do this. Whoops. And look what happens. It grabs my ball. Now, how in the world does this relate to what Jesus tells us? Am I just showing off my new toy? I bet some of the grown-ups are thinking, what the heck? Well, golf balls are like people. Everyone is precious to a golfer. And everyone is worth finding. Sometimes, though, these golf balls go off into the woods and have to be found, or they go off into the grass and have to be found, or they get really hard to find in the water. But Jesus is like this ball retriever. He retrieves us when we're stuck, and he retrieves us when we're in the woods, and he retrieves us when we're in the grass, and he thinks every one of us is worth saving. So when you're out or watching those golf tournaments with the pros, and they're every once in a while they'll shank one off into the woods or shank one off into the water, think of it as being a person that God is saving. So we can bring that back together. Would you guys bow your heads with me and pray? Okay, and you repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for sending Jesus.
We thank you for sending Jesus.
To keep us on the right path.
To keep us on the right path.
To find us when we are lost.
To find us when we are lost.
For bringing us out of the mud when we're stuck. For cleaning us off and making us good as new.
For cleaning us off and making us good as new.
So we can face the challenges life brings.
So we can face the challenges life brings.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Okay, guys, you can go to Sunday school.
So what else?
first scripture this morning is from Genesis 12, and it's on page 8 of your chair rack Bibles. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The next reading is from Psalm 121, and it's on page 498. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
express our appreciation for the delightful and uplifting message of the choir. You know, beautiful things do not happen without hard work, so I want to thank the choir and all that are a part of the music ministry for the work that they do. Our lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. It can be found on page 863 of your Pew Bibles. I'll be reading from a slightly different translation. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished by what I said to you. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be true?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believed in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God all said together, Amen. Now, I am mindful that I just said a prayer that God would approve these words, but I have a bit of old humor for you. So, I'm sure you all know the difference between a Baptist and a Methodist, and if you don't know, a Methodist is a Baptist who can read. And I'm sure you all know that the difference between a Methodist and a Presbyterian is a Presbyterian is a Methodist that went to college. And just in case you did not know, the difference between an Episcopalian and a Presbyterian is an Episcopalian is a Presbyterian whose investments turned out well. May the words of my mouth. In a collection of poetry and thoughts, Marianne Williamson writes, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us, It's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same thing. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Marianne Williamson writes, "We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us." The chosen title of this sermon is From Ordinary to Extraordinary. And again, the poet tells us, "We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us." Now, I am fully aware that most of us, if not all of us, it's certainly somewhat true for me, is that we have been either socialized or nurtured in such a way that we've been given messages to fit in, play it safe, and don't rock the boat. Miss Williamson writes, "There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you." She writes, "Make manifest the glory of God that is within us." In a way, Miss Williamson is reminding us that Jesus said, "Behold, for the kingdom of God is within you." I want to this morning to share with you a few thoughts that I have on this conversation that took place in our lesson between Jesus and Nicodemus. And I want to just kind of emphasize, this is just a few thoughts that I have on the conversation that they have. But this is a conversation that's most famous for "You must be born again." But I want to particularly focus on the part of the conversation where Jesus says, "What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Today, I want to suggest to you that by the Spirit, we can move from ordinary love to extraordinary love. By the Spirit, we can move from having ordinary hearts to extraordinary hearts. And by God's spirits, we can make manifest the glory of God that is within us. The lesson reports that there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night. The lesson is clear that Nicodemus was a Pharisee and Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews. Nicodemus had high standing in the community, but in spite of his high standing in the community, Nicodemus was, in fact, quite ordinary. Nicodemus was, in fact, trapped in the ordinary. What do you mean, preacher? What do you mean he was trapped in the ordinary? You see, as a leader of the Jews and as a Pharisee, Nicodemus was trapped in the expectations that came with being a Pharisee. He was trapped in the expectations associated with being a leader of the Jews. And as a consequence of all that was expected from a Pharisee and a community leader, he could only go to certain gatherings. Nicodemus could only be seen golfing at certain country clubs. Turns out some years ago, I had a neighbor named Floyd. This is back in Brooklyn. And he and I would go jogging at 5 a.m. Now, my friend Floyd had a master's of business administration and finance from Columbia University. And he worked at a bank. And on a morning run, he told me that upon receiving a promotion to a certain division, he was advised to move from central Brooklyn to the Upper East Side of Manhattan. You see, the ordinary of his world was even choosing his address for him. Nicodemus was trapped in the ordinary. He was so trapped in the ordinary and the expectations of the ordinary that he couldn't simply say to Jesus, "Let's meet at Starbucks and you can tell me, Jesus, what powers your ministry." The ordinary had it that the only way Nicodemus could meet with Jesus without endangering his community standing was for Nicodemus to meet Jesus at night. Now, let me quickly say that if during our brief time together, you find that I've been to a few places or been to a few meetings to which you might not go, or that I maintain friends that work on matters of justice in ways that you might work on them, please trust my faith in God, and please honor the small and humble efforts I'll do for kingdom work. Under the cover of darkness, Nicodemus goes to Jesus and says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Now, if you look carefully at our lesson, you'll likely see how I saw that Jesus wastes no time in his ministry to Nicodemus. Jesus does not bother to say, "Hello, Nicodemus." Jesus does not engage in pleasantries about the weather or the great work of the Pharisee Neighborhood Improvement Association. Jesus does not mince words with Nicodemus. Jesus immediately gives Nicodemus a critique of the ordinary faith. He immediately gives him a critique of the ordinary practices and the ordinary worldview of the Pharisees. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one could see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, this morning, I'm going to paraphrase that. You know, I might put it like this, restate what Jesus says like this. You'll be stuck in the ordinary until you have been reborn by the extraordinary Spirit of God. The extraordinary Spirit of God will give you the freedom to love and the freedom to bear witness to the glory of God that's within each of us. Now, keep in mind that to say the kingdom of God is to set the kingdom of God in contrast with the kingdom of worldly powers. Bear in mind that the Hebrew tradition always looked forward to the kingdom of God and the rule of a Messiah. The prophet Isaiah says the government shall be upon his shoulders. And as I say that, please don't confuse me for someone who promotes an earthly theocracy, because I do not. But there is a difference between the kingdom of God and what has been built by the hands of human government and commerce. I'd like you to note that when I say kingdom of God, among other things, I'm saying we should have clean air to breathe and clean water to drink. I'd like you to note that when I say kingdom of God, among other things, I'm saying whatever you do for the least of these. When I say kingdom of God, I'm saying blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Very truly, I tell you, says Jesus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Nicodemus is a ruling member of the Pharisees, and the ancient historian Josephus explains how the Pharisees were in bed with the Roman occupiers of Jerusalem. While claiming a religious faith, the Pharisees had both feet in the kingdom of a world run by the imperial powers of the Romans. And it's not uncommon for faith communities to write sacred footnotes for the agendas of the powerful. I could give you many contemporary examples where faith leaders have shown greater allegiance to worldly powers than to a life guided by a loving God. That, however, is work for another day. Today, I want to be clear that Jesus wants Nicodemus to move from an ordinary Pharisaic faith of rites and rituals to an extraordinary faith that brings heaven down to earth. Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. You see, Jesus invites Nicodemus from an ordinary view of life in the flesh to the extraordinary view of life lived by the Spirit. Jesus says flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Jesus wastes no time. Jesus gets right to the point and continues, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. What is born of the spirit is extraordinary. Born of the Spirit is a peace that passes all understanding. Born of the Spirit is the kingdom of God. There's an author who writes, "The kingdom of God is not something you waited for or went searching after. It is something you either believe in or doubt. But once you believe it, you see it everywhere." The poet writes, "We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us." Jesus says, "You must be born again." And I ask the church to say amen. We continue our worship now with the bringing of our tithes and our offerings.
Let's pray. Holy God, every day we see new evidence of your grace, your love, and your care for us, and we thank you. Please accept our offerings this morning, both our money and our worship, as an expression of our gratitude, and may the spiritual nourishment that we've received today strengthen us for continued service in your name. Amen.
We continue the sharing of our joys and concerns. And I have one joy and just a thought I want to share with you. My joy is that my good friend Molly Miller decided to come worship with us. Say hi, Molly. Okay. Okay. So, hi, Molly. I'll see you later. Now, my concern comes kind of as like a sort of a public service announcement. You know, we all see how we're kind of the top new virus that's running around the world that I just heard this morning has shut down like pretty much northern Italy. But what I think back to is, you know, some 30 years ago, to the HIV/AIDS crisis. And what happened with HIV/AIDS cannot happen with this virus. And what happened was HIV/AIDS was treated like a moral crisis when in fact it was a health crisis. All right. So it was treated like a moral crisis when it should have been dealt with as a health crisis. And so I know that somewhere lurking in the religious world, somebody is going to start talking about plagues of locusts and, you know, something or the other, and connect us to something really outlandish, when the thing to keep in mind is that we're dealing with a health crisis, not a moral crisis. So that's kind of my little PSA for this morning, and my, you know, it's kind of what I feel called to do and say. So I've said it now. Are there any, the only other thing I'll add at this point is I got a chance to see Joan Gurley on Thursday afternoon, and I'll just simply say it was a surprise. It was a surprisingly fun visit. We had not met before, and I'll just simply say it was a surprisingly fun visit. Her daughter was there at the time. She was in good spirits. And I was, you know, also very pleased to find that someone not active in the church is still very much connected to the church. So I applaud you all for, you know, keeping those connections alive and well. Now I do know that there are others that, you know, are shut in and need our prayers. And this afternoon I'm going to make a trip down to Baywin and we'll do a worship there. But that ends it for me. Does anyone else have any joys or concerns I'd like to share? It's all good with y'all, huh? Okay.
Well, I've got two joys. Mary Graham's 90th birthday is tomorrow.
Amen.
And unfortunately, she's not here this morning. She wasn't feeling good. She didn't sleep good last night. And the second joy I've got is that my son has moved from Australia back to Washington State to do some working, and he's coming home Wednesday. So.
Amen, amen.
A joy this morning. My good friend Lindo over here took a little spill yesterday, but the joy is she's good. She's good. And it's her stepmom's 96th birthday, so we're all going to go out on Thursday and celebrate Ibby's birthday.
Amen. Amen. Are there others? Are there others? Are you? Okay, well then, let us bow our heads now for a brief moment of prayer.
gracious, eternal, and everlasting God, to you we say thank you for this sweet hour, this sweet moment of prayer, a chance to turn all our thoughts and cares aside and to place them on you. So yes, Lord, we are thankful for this time of prayer, this time to seek to connect with you one-to-one, this opportunity to connect with your peace that passes all understanding, this opportunity in prayer to connect with the one whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. So, dear Lord, we thank you for this sweet hour of prayer. Dear God, even as we come to you with prayer, we come to you, dear Lord, with thanksgiving. Thank you for the love made known to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and for that same love made known to us through family and friends and through this church community, and for your love, dear God, made known to us in so many different ways, we say thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, for the myriad ways in which you are blessing us, ways that are known and ways that are unknown to us. We say thank you, Lord. But more than anything, dear Lord, we say thank you, dear God, for the gift that you gave us in your Son, Jesus the Christ, who came and walked among us and taught us how to live. So we say thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, sending one who would teach us how to live and who would die on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for each and every one of us, that we might no longer be bound by time, but be connected to your eternal love. And yes, dear God, we say thank you. But even as we come to you, dear God, with thanks, we come to you with concerns of our hearts, concerns of our bodies, concern for loved ones, concern for those who are shut in and not able to get out. Concern, dear Lord, even for our entire world as it faces a global health crisis. But we know, dear God, that you have planted in our hearts and minds to deal with all things wisely. Disciples came to Jesus and they said, Master, how shall we pray? And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said unto them, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We continue our worship now, uniting our voices together, singing God Love the World. That's the insert in your bulletins. God Love the World.
Again, I want to emphasize, please read all announcements in the bulletin, all in my notes, all is capitalized and underscored. Please read all announcements in the bulletin. Again, a reminder, see overhead what's on the screen. There's, adult ed opportunities at 10:45. Both the Legend Series continues and Marriage Built to Last in room 9/10. And the Wednesday night supper continues this week. Are there any other, did I say prayer under the cross following worship? Yeah, okay, prayer under the cross following worship. Who's leading that? Who's somebody leading that? Okay, great. Okay. Are there any other announcements? Anything else that we all need to know? Well, then let us rise now for the benediction. Gracious, eternal, and everlasting God, please dismiss us from this place, but never dismiss us from your presence. Bless us, Lord, to walk with you. Bless us, dear God, to talk with you. Bless us, dear Lord, to be a people that takes your love from this sanctuary and out into the world. It's in Jesus' name and for his sake, the people of God all said together, Amen. Amen.